Grace to you and peace today from Jesus Christ, our King. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is the first Sunday in a season called Epiphany. Anybody know what Epiphany means? It means revealing or manifesting or appearing. And one of the things we look at in this season is his appearance to the wise men, the Magi from the East. And I'd like to look with you at this story, this curious story in the Bible today. Why did God have this event happen? What was the whole purpose of it? He obviously orchestrated it, for he put the star in the sky and led them. And he had the Holy Spirit record it for us in Holy Scripture, obviously for our benefit. Why? Well, today I'd like to talk with you, especially through the story, about your own calling by God, so that you can be assured that God has indeed called you to his Son, Jesus Christ, to be saved in him and to worship him as King. So let's take a look at that, and we'll start out with just reading a few verses of the story. This event in Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we have come to worship him." So, first off here, about our calling, let's learn about their calling. Where were they called from? Wise men from the east. Okay, so they're from far outside of Israel. Who were they? Wise men, right? Magi, they're called. Not as the tradition usually says, kings. These were wise men who studied deep things, knowledge, dreams, the understanding of things. And so, were these Jews? These were Gentiles from a far off country. And that's an amazing thing that God tells us here about our own calling here. For what right do we have to say that we're called by God and inheritors of Abraham's promises? Right? For all of God's promises are through Abraham. The promises given to the patriarchs. What right do we as Gentiles have to say that we are indeed called by God? Well, where were the Magi from?
East.
The East. Or were they Jews or Gentiles?
Gentiles.
What are we?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. And we're from the north, south, east, and west. And so we can have a confidence today in our own calling that God has indeed called us Gentiles to be saved by the means of this story. We can see that. You know how special it is? As Americans, we tend to think, hey, everything belongs to us, right? And, you know, of course, why wouldn't God call me into his kingdom? Look at me. But you know what? This is something that was new and very special. And God did a new thing here. Because in the Old Testament, his promises are to the Jews, to the physical stock of Abraham, and that's who he stays with for the most part. But here, we get to see that this king that is born, Jesus Christ, this newborn child is not only for the Jews, but also God calls Gentiles from far off countries to come and worship him. And therefore you can have confidence today in your calling. If you're a non-Jew, if you're a Gentile, and you've believed in Jesus Christ, God has called you as well to his throne to be saved in Jesus. Think about those words there in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just take just a moment here to go through this, because this is an amazing new thing God did. It says, "Remember, keep in mind that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, whom called the uncircumcision by the Jews, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So, if we had not had the story, and we had not had what Jesus did, what would we be? Aliens to God, strangers, exiles, without hope, and without God. But in this story, we see that God has called Gentiles also to be saved, and therefore you can be sure of your calling as well if you're a Gentile. Secondly, we know God gave them a star. Let's talk about that star for a second. It says, when Jesus was born, Behold, wise men from the east came, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Isn't that interesting? They saw this star appear in the sky, and they say, That's his star. We better go over there because the king has been born, king of the Jews. How did they know this? Well, first of all, understand this. God must have initiated their call because they were hanging out in the east. Would they have come had the star not appeared? That's the answer. They wouldn't have budged an inch. They wouldn't have gotten off their couches. You would never have gotten the clicker out of their hands. Oh, all right, that doesn't have TV. But you know what? God called and initiated their journey by this star. And in the same way for us, could any of us have come to Jesus Christ had God not given us a calling and his star, the Word, and the Holy Spirit? Could any of you have come to Jesus and believed in him that way? Answer is no. Look at what Jesus says in John 6. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up the last day. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That means calls him. Can you be sure of your calling if you believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, because the wise men couldn't have come unless the star appeared. We couldn't have come unless God had given us the Holy Spirit and the calling through the Scriptures to be his own and to know Jesus. I want you to think about for a moment how special that is, which we might often take for granted. What an honor the king has called you. In the east in those days, did everybody come from the east? Was it a huge? Everybody? Just a few wise men, a few people who were looking. And in the same way today, God has not chosen everybody in the world to know him, although his call goes out, but notice, we are of the few out of the great mass of humanity who have been called and elected to know him. Think about what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. We look here. Paul says, God chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, before he even made the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's when he elected you. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And so, Revelation says, our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. How could the Magi have come without a calling? How could we have come unless God had chosen us? And so we can be assured there also of our calling in that way. And what was the star that appeared to them? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the moment, next moment, but what kind of star do we have? We've already mentioned it. The Holy Spirit and the light of the Scriptures. Is that so different from the wise men? How did they know it was his star out there that appeared in the sky? They must have heard about the Christ. One actually ancient Anglo-Saxon poem called the Hylian suggests that perhaps Daniel had told of a tradition about a particular star to come, and that these wise men were looking for it because Daniel was of a class of wise men in the east, in Babylon. Now, that doesn't have biblical, can't prove that by the Scriptures, but perhaps they were also looking at this Scripture of the Old Testament from Numbers 24, Balaam's prophecy. He said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. A star shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter, that is a king, shall rise out of Israel, etc. Perhaps they were looking to that. Was their light any different from ours? Well, they saw a star, but we also have the Word, and its purpose is to lead us to Jesus Christ. Well, think about this one also. The wise men were called, and what kind of a journey was it? Did they just hop on a train? Was it a peaceful and a happy, easy journey? Or was it fraught with danger in the midst of a very hostile world to this king? The latter, right? Notice what the Scriptures say. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And assembling all the chief priests, he inquired where the Christ was to be born. They looked at the scriptures, Bethlehem, they said. Then he summoned the wise men secretly, ascertained from them, at what time did the star appear? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Because you know, he planned to kill him, right? What kind of a guy was Herod? Did the Magi undertake a journey in a hostile world? Absolutely. Herod, you know, actually killed his own wife, Mariamne, one of his wives. He exterminated three of his own sons, Antipater, Alexander, and Aristobulus. Killed his own children. This guy was bloodthirsty, and here's the talk of an upstart new king being born, the Messiah, threatening his throne. I'll kill the man! Murder! Murder! And so, also Jerusalem was all troubled by the news that their own king was born. The Gentiles, these Magi, undertook a very dangerous journey to the Christ. And our journey in the same way has been against a world hostile to Jesus Christ. Has God called you from the Gentiles? Yes. From a far off country outside of Israel? Yes. Have you obeyed his calling and come? Yes. In the midst of a hostile world like they? Yes. And Luther says how sad it is and how strange that the Jewish land, what a disgrace to them that the Jewish land and people should have the Christ to be born in the midst of them, and that they should first learn of it from strange heathen and foreign people, the Gentiles. So my point is your calling. Are you sure of it today? That God has indeed called you to be saved in Jesus Christ? You're a Gentile, you're from a far country. You have obeyed the calling. You've come against the world that is against your king. Therefore, you have a double assurance of your calling. Next, let's take a little more look at this star. What kind of a star was it? Was it a normal star up there in the sky? What do you think? Yay or nay?
Nay.
Nay is the right answer. Oh, good. Good answer, sheep. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews, they said, for we have seen his star in the east. They recognized it as his. They've come to worship him. But when Herod the king heard it, he assembled all the chief priests saying, I don't know anything about the star. You heard anything about the star? I haven't heard about the star. Did you see this star? They didn't know about this star. Why wouldn't they know about this star? You know, around here we have light pollution. They didn't have it. What do you have to do at night without TV and internet? But to look up at the stars. And they were all looking at the stars, and they didn't see this star. How come the wise men saw it, and they didn't? You know why? It's a supernatural star. And it's given only to those to whom it is given to see. And in the same way, isn't that the same with the Word? We believe that the Word is the light of God. It's His star, Jesus' star, to lead us to Christ. But the world does not see what we see. Therefore, you can be assured more of your calling. Consider also the supernatural power of the star. It says, when they heard the king, they went on their way, and lo, what appeared? The star appeared before them on their way from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The star which they'd seen in the haste went before them. So it came to rest over the place where the child was. Now, geographic people out there, how far is it from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? About 6 miles. Herod is now steaming. He is tasting blood. He can't wait to slay this child, and he's going to slay all children, 2 years old and younger, in the whole surrounding area. And the wise men see this star. It's 6 miles, Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and guess who doesn't see it? Herod, nor any of Jerusalem are his wise men, but only those to whom it is given to see. Amen?
Amen?
So this is a supernatural star, just like the Word of God. The world looks at this book. The world says it's just ancient literature. It's no better than the Quran. It's just like Shakespeare or Dickens, a tall tale, because they can't see it, just like Herod couldn't see it. Just like his wise men couldn't see it. But those to whom it was given to see recognized this is his light. And what did the wise men do? They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Is that how you Is that how you approach the scriptures? When you read them, do you rejoice with exceedingly great joy? Amen? Well, at least some of you. Come on. That's a proof that you indeed also are called. For they rejoice at their star, we rejoice at our star. And by the way, I've spent many years at sea, you know, sailing, as you know, and I've seen a lot of stars tracking across the sky. Have you done that? Have you seen that? Which way do they usually track? Rise in the east and set in the west, just like the sun, right? Except for Polaris, which sits the north star, sits there stationary in the sky. What happens with this particular star? Jerusalem to Bethlehem is north to south. This star travels from north to south. That's strange. This is his star, supernatural star, going counter to all the other stars. And where does it lead? To our house. Now, I've sailed and I've gone by Polaris, the North Star. I can know north, but I've never yet had a star lead me to a house. This star, it says, went before them. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and it came to rest over a particular house. And that star basically said, this is the house, that's the one, enter here, and you'll find the king you're looking for. Isn't that a supernatural star? Well, what has God given us the Bible for? The world can't see it, it doesn't understand it, but it is a star. The unfolding of thy words gives light, it says in Psalm 119. Lamp to our feet, light to our path. Do we worship this book? No, it is... purpose is to teach us as a light to lead us and come to rest over Jesus Christ, that we might see him, fall down and worship him. What does Jesus say in John 5 to the Jews who didn't believe in him? You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it's they that bear witness to me, that you refuse to come to me that you may have life. It's purpose of the scriptures, friends, to bear witness to Jesus, to be a star to point us to Jesus, to lead his people to Jesus. Do we worship this book as the ELCA people? When I was over in the ELCA, they said, oh, the LCMS worships that book. They worship the Bible. We don't worship the Bible, but we rejoice like the wise men with exceedingly great joy because we see it as his star, which leads us to Jesus Christ, that we may fall and worship him as our true and rightful king and be saved, because this light is meant to lead us to the true light of the world, Jesus Christ. And he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Have you come to Jesus Christ from the Gentiles? Say yes.
Yes.
From a far country?
Yes.
Yes. Through a perilous and hostile world?
Yes.
Yes. Have you followed that star and it's appeared to you?
Yes.
Yes. Have you fallen down and worshipped at the feet of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes. Have you believed he died for your sins and rose from the dead on the third day?
Yes.
Yes. Then you indeed can be triply, quadruply, and more sure you also have been called by God to be saved, to be his own, to be destined for eternal life in the kingdom forever and ever. And we see that as they went on their way, it says, then opening their treasure, they offered gifts and being warned in a dream, they not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Once you've believed in Jesus Christ, are you left on your own by God? God's protective hand covered them, warned them in a dream, protected their whole journey through. How about you? Now that you've believed in Jesus, have you anything to be afraid of? God's protective hand goes over you to cover you and to protect you and to guide you all the way through this country to that better country, that heavenly country above. For ultimately, we've seen Jesus by faith, but we've not yet seen him by our eyes yet, have we? No, but we will. If we keep following this star above our heads, rejoicing in it, following it, and not all do, and some turn away, but if we follow this star to the very end, it will lead us to the Christ child as well, where we will see his face in heaven forever and ever and ever. And so our theme, our aim, our quest in life should be that, like of Don Quixote de la Mancha, who said in his quest song, this is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know that if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, Jesus, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage, yes, for to reach the unreachable star. And when you go and follow the star to heaven, Jesus will one day say to you, as he said to us through Daniel in Daniel 12, and those who are wise, that is the wise men, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Amen.